Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Steve. A whole week's gone by already, and we're still in Romans chapter 8.
Yeah. The weeks just fly by.
It does. I mean, every time you turn around, another week's gone by.
Yeah. But this is a lot of fun.
But it is fun. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you think it's fun because I'm going to make you read something, too. Anyway, we are glad to be back on Sunday night. We can't even say it's our new time anymore because I'm sure you're all used to it now.
Yeah.
Keep those cards and letters coming. Anyway, yeah, we are happy to be here Sunday nights at 7:30. I think it'll be much better, especially when sports seasons come back around.
Yes.
And, yeah, we have been going through the book of Romans, and tonight we're going to actually finish chapter 8. And then we'll see what's going to happen next week, because we don't always know from week to week.
Not always.
And we don't spend a lot of time rehearsing.
Yeah, we do.
Well, a minute here and 2 minutes there. But anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, we left off after my sort of favorite thing in the whole scripture, which was that we get a spirit of adoption and that we're co-heirs with Christ and we're going to be co-heirs of his glory and we're going to be adopted sons and daughters. And even though creation's been groaning ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, creation's going to be restored. We're going to be restored. We're going to have glorified bodies. All the groaning's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's going to be awesome.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. And that's where we kind of left off. And that sounds really good.
We're going to start from...
Except now we're going to see that not only, you know, the God's love and the amount of help that he gives us and all the things that he does for us, as if that weren't enough, Paul's not going to address how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses
mm-hmm.
while we're here. So, you know, it's really never enough. There's always more. There's always more. You all know that saying. There's always more. And just when you think you've got this all figured out, you find out something else that's awesome. So, Stephen, why don't you read 26 and 27? Let's start with that.
Okay. In the same way, the Spirit, too, comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because it intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will.
Wow.
Yeah.
We don't even know how to pray. This is amazing. And, you know, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. First weakness is we don't even know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're left to our own devices, how are we going to pray? Okay, Lord, here's what I need. Like, some of this I need, like, right away. Some of this can wait till next week.
Yeah.
But this is what I need. And right now, I need a better job. I need more money. I need a better car. I don't want my dog to be sick anymore. I want my son to do really well in high school. I want my daughter to do really well in grade school. I want my boss to really like, and you get the list out of what I call looking at God as the cosmic bellhop. Get me this, get me that. You know, let's go.
Yeah, here's my list.
Here's my list of things. And if you can just hurry up and sort of get this stuff done, the more important stuff now, the rest of it soon, I'll be in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me. It's all about me. And, you know, even after you go through all the stuff we read about last week and the things that we went over last week about how all this amazing, awesome salvation is given to us, you know, we still tend to do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's our nature.
Yep, so that is.
We don't know how to pray. We don't know even what to pray for.
Well, you know, what you're saying is really, we come to the place of, well, Paul came to the place where he thought he knew God
mm-hmm.
through the law,
mm-hmm.
But then when he comes to really know God and encounter God, he understands that everything that he did was not that it was bad.
Right.
But he realizes, I don't even know how to pray.
That's right.
Because of this. And again, like last week, we were talking about how this transformation just took place, and you have to place yourself in the place of Paul.
Yeah.
You know, you study the law. You are observant of the law. You live for the law. You died to the law to live for God. You were zealous for the law. And then when people started preaching that Jesus was this Messiah and he was raised from the dead, well, Paul went around and you start rounding people up and put them in prison.
Yeah.
And then he's radically transformed on the road to Damascus by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God.
That's right.
And he is at this place in his own life, like in Romans 7, he's like, you know, I do the things I don't want to do, and I'm not doing the things that I want to do.
I'm wretched.
Wretched, you know, woe is me, and who can save you but Jesus?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so you really see that he's coming to this place of, I thought I knew everything, but in essence, I didn't know anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
And you see that he's emptied.
Yes.
He's emptied of everything that he held on to as dear.
Especially his pride.
Yes. And it's just a total transformation. And it's really an example of what will happen if we allow ourselves to be transformed by the grace of God. Because, you know, if we went back to like verse 24, he says, for in hope we were saved. Mm-hmm. Now hope that sees for itself is not hope.
Right.
For who hopes for what one sees? Which is true. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance.
Yeah.
You know, we don't wait for a little while and then go, oh, well, it's not here. I'm going to, you know, get on to something else.
About it.
No. He's saying you're going to wait with endurance because this is so important and so eternal.
Yeah.
That you would be a fool not to wait for it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. A good explanation of that. Excellent. Exactly. And you notice, you know, he includes himself. He says, we don't know how to pray. He doesn't say, well, you guys don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. You guys don't know how to pray. I used to be at the temple, you know.
I went through the prayer institute. I know how to pray.
Yeah. So he includes himself.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, you know, going back to chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
You know, I love the law in my heart. But then I don't do it.
Yeah.
The things I want to do, oh, I'm going to do that. I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that anymore. But that's what I keep on doing.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to deliver me from this? He says.
And that's the human struggle of our weakness.
Exactly. And you know, he includes himself in this and he tells us that the Spirit is going to help us with this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit is going to come because He's going to help us in our weaknesses because we don't even know how to pray. So the Spirit's going to show us how to pray, tell us how to pray. He's going to make intercession for us kind of through us. And it's really amazing with, you know, groanings that cannot be uttered.
And he says, according to God's will, you know, and you go back to the garden where Jesus said, you know, he asked God three times, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
And this is, Paul is, not that he's picking up on this point, but he's come to the place of understanding that the Spirit's going to intercede for us according to God's will, because that's where we're really perfectly whole, perfectly in God's will and at peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the Spirit's going to make intercession for us. So remember, Jesus said, another paraclete is coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another. Jesus is a paraclete too.
Right.
Is a paraclete somebody who comes and stands beside you. The Greek word's parakletos. It's the idea of somebody being your lawyer, being your advocate.
Right.
Being your, you know, your defense when you're accused of something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus says another paraclete. Jesus is interceding for us always at the right hand. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, he's there eternally at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us.
Right.
Now, Paul says, and the Holy Spirit's always making intercession for us too.
Yeah.
And, you know, he shows us how to pray, how it just kind of comes out of it, mm-hmm. comes out of us. I mean, yeah. sometimes it's silent. Sometimes it's directed in a certain way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever needs to be said at that time. If you're open and docile to the Holy Spirit, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's important for us as believers of Jesus, is that, you know, the Holy Spirit can sometimes be vague, a vague entity of, well, what is this breath? What is this wind? What is this dove?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because those are the images that we have of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit is there to sanctify us. The Holy Spirit will, and I'm going to use the word convict us of our sins,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't condemn us.
Right.
He does not make us feel, there's always an invitation, it always leads to an invitation to turn to God.
Amen.
When the devil is yeah. attacking us, he's going to make us feel worthless.
Yes.
God could never love you.
Right.
How could you turn to God now? Look at what you did. He's going to try all those tricks on you.
Yep.
But when the Holy Spirit, when it's truly the Holy Spirit will lead you to the place where your heart's going to be cut to the chase.
Yes.
You're going to realize what I did was wrong.
Right.
And there's that invitation, come.
Right. Exactly.
You know, God's love is going to be there, right there for you. And when you say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I want to turn to you. I turn to you with all my heart. You know, heal me of what I'm doing, or forgive me. You're going to find God's favor. You're going to find God's grace in his mercy.
Wow.
And that's going to be evident.
Well put.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Exactly. And you're going to mm-hmm. pray within God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to pray, oh, please let me win the lottery tomorrow.
If I win the lottery, Lord, I'll give half of it to charity.
Yeah, because now your prayer is going to be directed in a way that's within his will,
mm-hmm.
in a way that you're going to want to do what he's created you to do,
yeah.
that he's going to help you do what he's created you to do.
Exactly.
You're going to pray in a different way.
And that's very important because God's created each one of us for a purpose and
mm-hmm.
and he has a plan for each one of us. And it's really, you know, when we come to the place of saying, okay, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life,
mm-hmm.
then we're really following, you know, Jesus says no disciple is greater than
right,
his master.
Right, right.
And if Jesus is truly our master,
right.
then when we come to the place like he was in the garden, say, Father, not your will, but my will, not my will, but your will be done,
mm-hmm.
then we truly are emulating what Christ is trying to
That's
teach
right.
us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when the Spirit does help us, when he, you know, goes into our spirit, you know, he does this in a very deep way. I mean, this is like
yeah.
crying out, Abba, it's like
mm-hmm.
comes out from the depths of you.
That's
a work
oh, yeah.
of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we talked, I don't know how many shows ago, about how nobody can say Jesus is Lord except through the Spirit.
Right.
Because it's not something that you can just say based
right.
on your own knowledge.
Right.
We've never seen him. We don't know what that means.
Right.
But through the Spirit, we say Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit goes into our being somehow, into our spirit, and says, this is what you should pray for. This is how you should pray.
Yeah.
Forget about the lottery.
Well,
I don't know about that.
But it's $104 million, Lord.
But you know, it's a very deep thing, and like you said, you know, you the Spirit leads you in a certain way compared to the demons, or
right.
compared to your own nature.
Yeah,
I want to have a very comfortable house, and I want to have a very nice car, and I don't ever want to be sick, and I want to have a lot of money. And when I retire, I want to be making $17,000 a month. And this is how I want to live my life. I mean, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what your flesh would tell you. Cause,
mm-hmm.
well, that sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah. It's what the world tells. I mean, basically it's, you know, it's what the world tells us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Spirit may say, this is going to be what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally totally different,
yeah.
but it's going to be along something that moves you closer to God
mm-hmm.
and is going to help, he's going to help conform your will. How's that song go? Oh boy, everything reminds me of a song, but you know, it's like transform us and conform us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are works of the Holy Spirit.
Take my heart.
Yeah.
Transform
take my heart. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's our will is going to be conformed to his. It's going to take time mm-hmm. before it's perfectly conformed, but it's not going to be this sort of disordered thinking of,
right,
oh, if I could just win the lottery tomorrow.
Yeah, and that song, Take My Life, yeah, we sing, you know, holiness, holiness is what I long for. You know, take my life, transform it, take my mind, conform it to yours, to
Did
yours.
Did you bring your guitar? No.
No, not today. I could sing it for you.
Yeah, so, you know, he works in us to transform our will. And as you said, the Holy Spirit is going to direct you in the way that you're supposed to go,
mm-hmm.
and not in a way that you're not supposed to go.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit's not going to, the Spirit that's in your heart's not going to contradict the Word,
right.
not going to contradict, you know, the moral law,
right.
not going to contradict your relationship that mm-hmm. you have with God through Jesus.
Yeah.
So something that does that, you know, is not of God.
Right.
And I think, you know, you summarize that really well. And, you know, there's not going to be contradictions.
Right.
And plus, he's always searching your heart, you know.
If
you're a sincere believer, you want him to search your heart.
Oh, yeah.
You want to say, like, help me to pray better. Help me work better. Help me do this better. Help me do your will better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a sincere believer, you're going to want that. That's not going to bother you.
Yeah. And I think, is it in Psalm 139 where, you know, it talks about the Lord formed us
yes.
while we were in our mother's womb. He knows our thoughts from afar.
Exactly.
He knows every word before we even are going to speak it.
Exactly.
And that's the great mystery, that God knows everything. And
exactly.
I can't hide behind the fact that I can't see God and think, oh, well, God doesn't know what I'm thinking and God doesn't know
that's
what I'm
right.
going to do. God knows exactly what I'm thinking.
That's
he
right.
knows exactly what I'm going to do. But he loves me. Still, in spite of that, but also offers me the grace of his forgiveness.
That's right.
You know, if I turn to him and ask for it.
Exactly.
And you know, that's the big thing that Jesus always said, you know, repent, turn for, you know, mm-hmm. repent, John the Baptist,
yeah.
repent, turn from your evil ways mm-hmm. and believe in the gospel.
Yeah.
Turn back to God.
That's right.
And that's really been the whole story.
That's what you've got to do.
That's been the whole story of all the prophets leading up to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the message hasn't changed. It's simply a message of, hey, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Come and follow me.
Yes.
And I'll give you the inheritance of my kingdom.
Yes.
You know.
And we as believers, we like that. You know, for unbelievers, it's kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
If you figure you're going to answer for all this.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't realize that they are. They may be blocking that out of their mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's for them, it's terrifying to have their heart searched.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said what's in the human heart, greed, envy, lust, you know, there's a whole list of, you know, bad stuff that comes out of the human heart.
Yeah.
And the Spirit's searching our heart in a way that's going to conform us more to his will.
Yeah.
So you have the intercession of the Spirit doing that. You have the intercession of Jesus at the right hand,
mm-hmm.
which of course is going to be God's will as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can God do to get your attention, to start to change you, to make you realize that you need to come in order to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
He has all these things. And a few chapters ago, you know, Paul wrote that all these things are manifested
mm-hmm.
so that we know that they're there.
Yeah.
We don't have to wonder, is Jesus really interceding? Is the Spirit really? You know, we know all these things,
mm-hmm.
and all we have to do is to be open to it.
Yeah, and you know, when you were talking, it reminded me of when there's the poor, you know, Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
and there's the one person who is in the pool of fire, and he's saying, Father Abraham, let me tell my family that, you know, that there's this torment.
Yeah.
There's this eternal torment. He said, well, even if somebody's, even if they didn't believe
Ooh,
Moses,
yeah.
they wouldn't even believe if someone was raised from the dead.
We should do a show on that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, you won't believe somebody rose from the dead.
Exactly. And it is a place of, I know when I turned to the Lord, there was, you know, you said, well, it's coming to that place of emptying, knowing that your heart's going to be searched.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when you're, when you're not walking with God, it's a frightening place.
Mm-hmm.
But once you turn and receive God's mercy, boy, you really understand God's grace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer trapped in fear of what you've done. You begin to receive the blessings that God has in store for you, because when I turned and I confessed, you know, my sins, it just all that the weight, everything was just washed away.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what I remember, Moses, the weight being lifted.
Yeah.
Whew. Here comes an awesome song.
Oh, we talked about this song last
week. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of it. Anyway, here it is. So go to WilburMinistries.com and just buy everything. He gets free advertising. But anyway.
He's a good friend of ours.
Remember, that's right. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and also on Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
This place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen and I are talking about Romans chapter 8 and talking about the Spirit interceding for us and teaching us how to pray and showing us what we need to pray for and kind of guiding us along the prayer line.
Yeah.
And this is actually a very powerful thing that all of you should keep in mind. All of us need to keep in mind, including us.
Yeah.
This is a very powerful thing in our life because we're believers in Jesus and because of his sacrifice and because the Spirit dwells in us. We have amazing resources at our disposal.
Yes.
So rather than trying to figure out how to pray or, you know, saying, well, you know, I've got 8 prayers that I've memorized, so I'm just going to use those all the time. this is an amazing way of actually communicating one-on-one with God in a way that's very powerful.
I mean, every believer has to take full advantage of their full resources of the kingdom that we have at our disposal through the sacrifice that Jesus made, through the intercession of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And this is all part of the plan of salvation. I mean, this is how we're going to be even more united with him and conformed with him and then eventually living with him.
I mean, you can't leave out the Holy Spirit because Jesus ascended to the Father and he said, I have to ascend to the Father. If I don't ascend to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come.
Yeah.
So this was part, it wasn't just that something that God thought of doing like after, you know.
That's right.
Oh, maybe I should send the Holy Spirit after. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
It was part of God's plan. to renew the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know?
So let's go ahead to the next section. This is another verse that I quote like 17 times a day to people, and you hear a lot, which is Romans 8:28. But why don't you read 28, 29, and 30?
Okay. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified.
Oof.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Wow. And that's only a small snippet of what Paul's written.
Very small snippet. And you know where?
One paragraph.
Yeah, if you're called, you're justified and glorified. And he doesn't say anything about if you work hard at it, if you really do.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, read that over again. There's nothing in there about it. Yeah, nothing in there about working really hard. Nothing in there about being extra scrupulous with the law.
So it's nothing I'm doing.
No, nothing there about making the phylactery bigger and bigger. It's you're called, you're justified, you're glorified. And it's not based on your merit. And it's so cool that, as we were just saying before, God uses these things for his purposes. The plan fits together. And it's an ongoing thing. It's not one thing that happens and then good. It's every interaction all day long, all year long, all century long, whatever you're doing. Everything's working together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes, which we are. And most of you listening to the show probably are, or else you wouldn't be listening. But this is really quite an amazing thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the beginning of understanding the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, that we're called into Christ. And everything fits together, as you're saying.
Yeah.
And the body works together for the building up of the kingdom. And everybody has a part in it.
Yeah.
Everybody has a part in, you know, God's plan, so that, you know, there's going to be people that I may talk to, and sometimes I may share the gospel with them. Sometimes I may encourage them with one of Paul's letters.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes where I'm going to lead them in a prayer of salvation because they're ripe for the harvest.
Yeah.
And not everybody is going to do the same thing all the time, but we work together with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
To God's plan, because God's interested in our souls.
Right.
He loves us so much that he sent his only son. He wants us to be in heaven with him eternally, and he desires our soul. You know, so that's what really proclaiming the kingdom is all about. It's winning souls for the kingdom of heaven for God.
Right.
You know.
And we're called according to his purposes, not according to our purposes.
Not according to ours.
And you know, interestingly, the person that you're talking about, that you may encounter this person, and you may be sharing the gospel with him, and all of a sudden he says, oh, now I get it. And you say, wow, I did pretty good there.
I did. Great thing there.
But yeah, that was another notch in my belt.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you don't know if 16 other people have talked to him.
Exactly.
If he heard a guy at the donut shop earlier this morning telling him something, or he remembers his mother telling him something when he was 16, and now you come and say, well, what about this? And he goes, wow. And it suddenly all comes together because all these things have worked together for God's purposes.
Yeah. And I think what's important, like for myself, that I've begun to understand and see is that it's important that if I have that opportunity to talk with someone, that I share the good news of salvation with them.
Yeah.
And even if they aren't, at that point in their life where they're going to receive it fully, if I've spoken the word of God to them that I was supposed to, I've done what God's asked me to do.
Yes.
And that's what we're getting at. And I think that's what Paul is getting at here too, is that, you know, he's preparing, you know, in here, he's really, I think, laying out, we have to be about God's will according to the Spirit, according to God's will, not religiosity, not, you know, not that rules and regulations are a bad thing. There are, you know, Jesus, obviously Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it.
And the Spirit says you do things in order.
Yeah, and in order. Yeah. But love fulfills the law.
Right.
And that's the most important thing, is that, you know, this act, this great act of God's love that Jesus gave himself for us was a great act of love that conquered death. Mm-hmm. It conquered sin.
That's right.
And we have to remember that.
That's right.
It wasn't through working, you know, through, you know, conferences and committees and stuff like that. It was just, this great act of God's love, this great act of love by God himself that redeemed us.
That's right. Amen. And as you, you know, and I think all these things that you have just said and the things that we read in this passage, we have to keep in mind that all of the experiences we have, all of the things that happen to us as we go through life, all the things that we experience and see as we go through life, these are all things that are working together for the good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to take advantage of them. So, you know, when somebody, when you're sitting at the restaurant or the donut shop or your office or wherever you are, and you get a prompting from the Holy Spirit of, you know, go talk to Joe over there because he's, you know, really having a bad day, or, you know, go tell Sally over there that maybe she should go to church on Sunday, or, go, you know, these are things you have to take very seriously. And as you said, there isn't anything more important than telling somebody the good news.
Right.
Because what more could you do? What could you do for them better than tell them something that might save them for eternity?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, as you were talking, I thought of something and I can't think of it again. But anyway, it's doing God's will that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were saying, it's what Paul is getting to here, is that it's the Holy Spirit is interceding for us according to God's will.
Yes.
That we're going to follow
exactly.
God's will.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's his purposes. It's not our purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go, even when we go and do the good things, help the homeless guy, take some food to the homeless guy, tell the homeless guy the gospel, it's not so the homeless guy says, wow, that guy's really cool. That guy was so awesome. He went and got... That's not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But you've impacted that life in a way that nothing else you do can compare.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
And even if we go to the homeless and we go to the poor, we have to go to them, not just meeting their physical needs,
right,
but we have to go there prepared to share
exactly
the love of God with them through
exactly
the gospel, through the word of God as well.
Yes.
You know, and
now let's do, this is good. Let's do 31's good. Let's do 31 and let's do 31 and 32 first.
Okay. What then shall we say of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?
Yeah, so now, when he gets to verse 31, Paul basically says, okay, so now, what does this all mean? Like, now we've talked about all these things. So what? So what? What mm-hmm. does this all mean? What are we going to make of all this? Well, you have to stop and think how you were talking about hope before. I mean, this is what our hope is built on. Mm-hmm. God didn't spare his only son.
Yeah.
Now, if he didn't spare his only son, if he was willing to do that, and going back to Abraham and Isaac.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, this was the type, the prefigurement.
Mm-hmm.
Take your son, your only son, the one who you love, and you're going to take him on a hill. I'm going to show you. You're going to sacrifice him. He's going to carry the wood up.
Yeah.
Then he's going to stop Abraham from doing it.
Right.
So, but God the Father does not stop.
Mm-hmm.
His son is sacrificed. And he didn't spare his own son. He delivered him up for us, Paul
right.
says. So if he delivered his own son up for that, why would he hold anything else back from us?
Right.
Why would he say, well, Steve did a good job yesterday, but today he's not doing that great of a job. So therefore, I'm not going to even think about Steve anymore today. Or Phil or whoever. But it's, he's not yeah. going to do that because he didn't hold anything back.
Right.
He didn't hold back. He didn't spare his own son. He didn't hold that back. He's not going to hold anything back from us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what our hope is based on.
Right.
So, Paul says, so why should we be afraid? Who's going to come against us based on that? Who's going to come against us? Satan going to come and take us?
Yeah.
No, he's not going to come and take us.
Right.
We have this amazing plan that's come on us, and it's not because of what we did. It's not because we had some amazing merit.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, at the end, everybody gets an F, as I like to say. Mother Teresa's F is much higher than mine. And, you can name people that have a much higher F than I do. But at the end, we all get an F.
Yeah.
And here we have this amazing thing of, if God doesn't spare his only son for us, then why is he going to turn on us?
Right.
Not going to happen.
Right. And there's, and I can't think of where it's at right now, but in scripture, when you're doing what God's asking you to do, I think it's Jesus said, you're an unprofitable servant.
Yes.
You're only doing mm-hmm. what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It's like you have a job and you have duties of your job and you carry them out faithfully and you do a good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're doing what you're required to do.
Right.
That's right. You're not really, you're not going above and beyond what you're supposed to do. You're simply doing what's been asked of you.
Right.
And so I think in that we have an example of really what a servant is,
mm-hmm.
of how to serve the Lord.
Exactly.
And you're not boasting of, I did go and talk to that person you asked me to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your point is, I went and talked to him.
I did give 50 cents to that homeless guy, remember?
Yeah, but you have $200 in your pocket. Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah.
I didn't know you knew about that. So it's a matter of, as you say, there's no boasting. It's a matter of simply following God's will and doing what he's asking us to do in a manner that's going to build up the king,
exactly.
build up the body.
Right. And we should be comforted and encouraged by
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what could be more comforting and more encouraging?
Yeah.
We have two intercessors, two paracletes, all this going on, the Holy Spirit teaching us how to pray.
Yeah.
So what enemy can come against us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if God is for us, who could be against us?
Amen, brother.
As it says. We have all these promises to stand on.
Yeah.
We can engage the enemies, and we know we're going to win.
Yeah, and as Paul is saying here, and I think what you just said there, it really emphasizes, if God did not withhold his only son, he's given us everything.
That's right.
There's nothing that he's withheld from us.
That's right. And because of the cross, we know Satan is defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to share in that.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Joyful.
Woo. Another break already.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. It's the second break, isn't it? Yep.
Is this Paul Wilson? Is this Paul Wilson?
It is.
Is he here?
He's not.
Oh.
He's in Jacksonville or maybe Nicaragua.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute on the Gift of Grace. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and Facebook.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us His ways. Wash us with the Spirit of burning, that Your beautiful fruit shine forth. Everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, He will teach us His ways. Arise and shake the earth so mightily. Send Your glory all across the land. And everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, He will teach us His ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, He will teach us His ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, fill the blood of the fire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Last segment of the show.
Already.
We're definitely going to finish chapter 8. Okay. I know you're all on the edge of your seats, but we are going to finish chapter 8. So, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind reading from 33 to the end of 8.
Sure. Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being slain all the day. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present things nor future things nor powers, nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow.
Amen.
Ooh, that is awesome. I love chapter 8. Let's do chapter 8 again.
Yeah,
next
really.
Time. No, all right. Chapter 8 is really awesome. So, you know, what's the basis of this? So who's going to bring a charge against us? You know, the law charges us with things. Satan charges us with things. But Paul writes, it's God who justifies us. He justifies us. So if He justifies us, who's going to condemn us?
Right.
He's not going to condemn us. He's justifying us.
Right.
Satan can come. He can't condemn you.
He accuses you.
He accuses you. He can say, oh, you should be condemned.
Right.
And you can say, yeah, I should be, but I'm not. Ha ha.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the law could say, you violated the law. You say, yes, but he justified me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, you know, men try to justify themselves, you know, we try to rationalize things. Oh, and, you know, you had people, you know, like the Pharisees that went around and said, oh, well, you know, we're the holy guys. We're not like those guys over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're justifying yourself,
right,
comparing yourself. I've never killed anybody. I haven't done the stuff that Joe over there did.
I used to do a lot of that.
Yeah. You killed people?
No.
But anyway, so.
I didn't do that.
You know, we try to justify ourselves, but he's the one who justifies us.
Mm-hmm.
And if he justifies us, who can condemn us?
Yeah.
He justifies us. And when you think about it, he's the injured party. We violate his law. We violate his law, but he justifies us.
Right.
What more, you know, what more could he have done?
Yeah.
You have Jesus at the right hand making intercession.
Yeah.
You know, it's infinite merit of his death. There's nothing can compare to that.
Right.
An infinite merit, which frees us, which can forgive any sin.
Mm-hmm.
Paul talks about the resurrection. You know, he's raised.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate proof. We talked about that.
Yeah.
I don't know, whenever it was, probably last Easter. Yeah. But, you know, the resurrection is the ultimate sign. It's the ultimate proof.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus is our brother. He calls mm-hmm. us friend. He calls us brothers. So our friend and our brother is also the judge.
Yeah. God's not passive aggressive. He's
no.
not going to be really nice for us and then
exactly.
go, oh, now look what I did for you over there.
Exactly.
He doesn't do any of that.
That's right.
And even, you know, the prime example is when Jesus come, you know, when Jesus is raised from the dead and he comes back and he justifies Peter.
Yes, exactly.
You know, oh
exactly.
Lord, I'll die for you. I'll never deny you.
Yeah.
Peter says.
Yeah.
And then Jesus comes to Peter and says, do you love me?
Yeah.
You know, do you love me? Do you love me? Mm-hmm. And then Peter's really, really shaken.
Yes.
Because the Lord's asking him this three times.
Yeah.
Lord, you know that I love you. You know everything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't condemn him. He restored him.
That's right.
And that's what the Spirit of God does to us. God restores
right.
us because we are already broken through
yes.
sin and through the sacrifice that Jesus made through his blood through
yeah.
the whole and through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
He restores us.
Right.
To be children of God.
So our friend and our brother is also the judge.
Yeah.
He's the restorer. He's the justifier. So we should mm-hmm. be encouraged by that.
You got a good team.
The deck is stacked for
our favor,
not
yes.
against us.
Amen. Amen.
It's beyond belief. And people say, well, it's so hard. I don't get any of that. It isn't hard.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't hard.
No, it's not.
The main things are the plain things. And the plain thing he's saying here is this is the plan of salvation. He's going to justify you.
Right.
All you have to do is come.
Yeah.
And it's so encouraging that we shouldn't get discouraged.
Right.
Even if we fall, we should say, oh, now I've really blown it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's natural to think
that. It's a natural tendency to think that. Yeah.
That's right. And so he says, so then who can separate us from his love? I mean, who's going to do it? The enemies can try. Like you say, you know, Satan's the great accuser.
Mm-hmm.
He can whisper in your ear all day long. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Look at you. Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the old saying, when Satan reminds you of your past, you can remind him of his future. Which isn't going to be very nice. But, you know, the enemies can try all they want.
Right.
You're going to have tribulation in your life. You know, he says mm-hmm. all these things.
Yeah.
There's going to be distress. There's going to be persecution. I mean, who knows how much longer till there's going to be persecution here against Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's already starting.
Yes.
It's been going. Now it's accelerating.
Yeah.
We don't know if there's going to be famine. We don't know if there's going to be, you know, war, peril, whatever.
Yeah.
But is that going to separate us from his love?
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, you look at some of the natural disasters that have happened even just in our country in the United States over the past decade or
exactly.
so. I mean, you know, massive floods in the Mississippi,
exactly.
Hurricane Katrina, all those things are massive natural disasters
mm-hmm.
that I think are going to test anyone's faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't sit here and say, well, if I was in that situation, I know that I would.
Right. Yes. And they're, you know, it's going to go on all the time, but we mm-hmm. have to be encouraged by, what we just talked about.
Right.
Because persecution is always going to be there.
Right.
You know, this little thing he talks about, you know, killing sheep and stuff. You know, that was written in a psalm, that's Psalm 44. But that's applied all through the generations of Christianity.
Right.
There's always been persecution.
Always, yeah. Right.
And, you know, Antichrist is going to come. There's going to be worse persecution. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But, you know, even though all this stuff is going on, he says, we're more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like a conqueror.
No. And it's a spiritual battle.
That's right.
It's a and I think, you know, as to be a follower of Christ means that we share in the anointing of Christ.
Exactly.
And we have to remember that it's a spiritual battle that that we are fighting and face.
Yeah.
And it continues on.
That's right. When he says we're more than conquerors, it's through Christ and through the Spirit.
Right.
Not through anything we're doing.
Right.
So we've overcome the world because he's overcome the world. You know, John 16:33 says, mm-hmm. fear not, for I've overcome the world.
Right.
You're going to have tribulations, but don't worry. I've overcome the world, which means you're going to have tribulations. I've overcome the world. You're going to overcome the world too.
Right. And we can get overwhelmed when we try and do it ourselves.
Yeah.
When we try to do it apart from Christ.
Yeah.
And not with Christ
That's
at
right.
our side.
That's right.
Then we'll be overwhelmed.
And when Christians around the world have been martyred through the centuries, you know, the people that killed them probably said, I can't believe these people are going to die for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, kill me, it's okay.
And it still goes on today.
Yeah, kill me, it's okay.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going, I'm serving the Lord, you can kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to die, it's just going to be worse for you. Just go ahead. And, you know, we're more than conquerors. And he says, you know, none of this stuff is going to separate us from the love of God that we have through Christ Jesus the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be strong, we should be confident.
Yeah.
There was no doubt in Paul's mind. I mean, look how he writes that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, well, maybe we should be happy, or, you know, maybe we should think about being encouraged.
I am convinced.
Convinced. There's no question in his mind.
Yeah.
He understands this. He's experienced it. He's seen Jesus as the mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
And he has no question in his mind that this is how we're saved.
Woo! Yeah. Well, when you say, who are you? And the voice says, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting.
Yeah. Makes an impression on
you. That makes an impression on you.
Wow. We made it to the end of chapter 8.
Hallelujah, bro.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for listening, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Stephen and I will be back next week.
And have a good week, and we'll get back into God's Word next week. Have a good week, everyone. God bless.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.